On July 11, 2014, Mark Richardson and Lynn Erlinson interviewed Vi and Bob Metzler about their involvement with the early years of the Cedar Mill Community Library. We started talking about how they first came to the area.
I'm Vi Metzler, and actually, Bob could say what brought us to the area was his job at Tech. And he actually came in March, right, of 1973, and then the kids and I had gone back to school, so we were all in school, so we moved out after school was out.
It's out from the Washington, D.C.
suburbs. Yeah, we were moving
from
Northern Virginia.
So it was a
Fairfax County
cross-country move.
Well, we came with four kids and two cats in a big yellow station wagon way to Oregon.
I came to work for Tektronix at that time, which was then a very healthy company, I think around 2,500-3,000 employees, and later grew to almost 25,000, and it's now down to, who knows, a couple of thousand. But I was that was what brought us out, and then Vi became interested in the library.
Well, actually, I was interested in libraries before then.
So
about what year did you
73.
So 41 years. Yeah, I had volunteered in the kids' libraries back in Virginia, both elementary and high school libraries. And before I had started back to school, I thought maybe I'd want to be a school librarian. So my first courses, I had first gone to Northern Virginia Extension of University of Virginia and then George Mason University.
She'd had 3 years of college way back when.
And then we had four kids.
Started having kids, and so she finally finished.
In 75, when our oldest graduated from high school at Portland State. But in the meantime, I took some library science courses. I had taken a children's lit course and a reference course back in Virginia. And then when I went to Portland State here, I took a cataloging course.
But then you took all they had, right?
Then I found out, you know, the only thing I could do would be a children's librarian. And then when I found out, you know, the library science school at U of O had already closed, and that kind of closed the door for me. And I said, even though I had enjoyed volunteering at children's libraries, I decided, because I had so many credits by then with the different colleges, that just finished my degree in history, which was my original intent, with the few library science courses. And then I found out about Cedar Mill Library and volunteers. So I think I started in March of 76, not long after it opened. And
you and Mary started basically the same
Mary
time.
Mary was a little earlier.
Like a month or two.
I don't know.
This is Mary Packer.
Yeah,
Mary Packer, yeah. When I join something, it doesn't take me long to get involved. I don't just do a little bit and leave. So it was no time at all, you know. I noticed nobody was doing anything with the children's books. They weren't being cataloged or anything. And I think Mary was doing adult nonfiction. And I forget who was doing adult fiction. Somebody was doing easy books. It may have been Lee Brenner. I'm not sure anymore. And so I asked about that. Do you want to do it? Sure. So that's the first thing I did, in addition to working at the front desk. I mean, we all worked at the front desk, including our daughter, who was in high school at the time. In fact, the whole family got involved. I think everybody in those days, the whole families got involved in a lot of the ongoing work of the library and in the annual mess. And
so after the library had opened, sounds like that's about the time you got involved. So it wasn't when it was a bookmobile or at the 7-Eleven?
No, it was when they opened in the little space across from the old Bales in 76. Yeah, I think they opened in early January of 76 there. So I started in March, so it wasn't long afterwards.
Can you tell us a little bit about the Cedar Mill area and, you know, what it was like back then?
Well, it was mostly farm country.
A lot less populated. We lived up in a subdivision or a development called the Bluffs, up 119th off Cornell, about a mile uphill from Cornell. And we could look out our back windows and see a barn. There was another block or two of development, and then farm fields and that whole area, which is now Bauer Woods, is that right? I think that's right now. That was farm country. There was Terra Linda, existed, and
Sunset Valley existed.
Yeah, Home Depot is.
Is it Home Depot that's there now?
I think Home Depot is in.
Anyway, that's where our youngest went to elementary school when we first came, and then he went to Terra Linda. Hmm. The Bluffs was just beginning because there were a lot of unbuilt homes yet, so we were all new in that development. So that was kind of nice. We all were out, and we all had kids, and got to know each other in those early days. And that's probably, I can't remember how I found out. Maybe I read about Cedar Mill. And,
library.
So I was immediately interested, because when we came here, we had such great library service in Fairfax County, and we come here, no library service. Mm-hmm. No. So, and it was hole in the wall Beaverton and the fire department are going to Multnomah County. So we bought a Multnomah County membership and went there.
$5 a year or something like that.
I don't
that.
Remember, but it wasn't much. So we used that library for several years.
Yeah, just about every Saturday we'd come downtown to the Central Library, which we now live not so many blocks from.
So the first time you heard about it, it was already formed, and then decided to come down and help out a little bit.
And so we did, like I said, we did a little bit of everything those early days. Not only working with books, cataloging, because I had a cataloging class, I knew how to catalog. And in those days, we actually had kind of four little libraries within one library, because everybody was doing his or her own cataloging, so it wasn't uniform or anything. It wasn't until I was hired as part-time cataloger under Greg Smoots, that I'm an organizer, so I got everything uniform, and everything had to be the same after that.
Yeah. Did you know any of the people previously who were involved with the library, or did you get to know them?
I think we met them all through the library.
I think it was through the library. I'm trying to think. Oh, there were some neighbors that got involved, too.
That would have been after.
Yeah. One of the things that you and I did, remember, we were kind of in charge of assigning people to come in on Sundays, because that's the only day the library is closed, to clean the library, vacuum the floors and clean the bathrooms. And we scheduled volunteers to do that, and Bob and I did it too.
You talked about getting the ball rolling on the cataloging and some of the other things. Were you involved with the mess, which was the
For a number of years, I had
basement half full.
The family complained I had so many boxes of women's clothes in the basement.
We had about a fourth of our basement was an unfinished room for general storage. Well, as September approached, that room was just packed with clothes, and I was sorting them and hanging them. Some were on racks, some were in boxes, but by the time of the mess, it had taken over a good part of the downstairs.
Those were busy times, but it was an exciting time, too, to be part of something that was just beginning and bringing free library service.
Oh, you had no idea it would get to be what it is now.
Oh, no.
So no inkling back then that
it would get this big with a branch library?
Well, it was all volunteers, essentially all volunteers. It was the first librarian, was it Kathy?
Kathy Mann through CETA. Have you heard of the CETA program?
I think I've heard about it.
Yeah, it was a job, kind of a job corps thing, as I recall.
Well, I just read about it because I couldn't remember what CETA stood for. And it was actually an extension of WPA from the 30s.
Oh, really?
Under Roosevelt. But this was...
But it was they paid her salary for a year, I think.
No, 2 years. We
two
had
years,
Kathy
was
for
it?
2 years.
Yeah.
And then...
Greg.
Then they hired Greg. And at that time, I was actually on the committee to hire Greg. Because in the early days, the library coordinator was the one who ran the library. Well, for a brief period after Mary Packer decided she didn't want to do that anymore, she ended up being on the board then, I think. They asked me to be library coordinator. And I'm not the kind that likes to be in charge overall. You know, that period between John and Marjan talked me into being...
She was acting librarian.
Acting librarian for 6 months between those two. I like to be in charge of my own little section, but not overall. I don't feel I'm qualified, but they talked me into it because I suggested Nancy because she has a professional. She's a professional. I never got my library science degree. And she had been the librarian at Cornelius for, I think, a year or two. So I thought she would prefer for, but they told me, well, she'll probably apply for the job. She didn't want it. So there I was, stuck for about, and I was told originally, maybe 2 months. Well, I think it turned out to be 6 months before they hired Marjan.
About so, what year was that, do you remember?
When they hired Marjan?
Late 80s, early 90s.
And I think, yeah. And then, you know, when we hired Greg Smoots, I was library coordinator. And I had already convinced the board that I thought now it's time for the professional librarian to be in charge. And they went along with me, so I got myself out of a job.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do that anyway. But I was involved with on the committee and the board president to hire Greg.
Since Washington County, the cooperative library system developed about the same time Cedar Mill did, what are your memories of
your
how
your
that integration that. Worked with Cedar Mill?
Yeah, I think actually helped us because then I'm not sure exactly when the first library serial levy was put to the voters, but having a county organization to be part of that organization really helped us.
Well, you went to a lot of their meetings, WCCLS.
Well,
were you like representative of CMCL?
Well, when I was the acting librarian,
acting librarian.
Library coordinator, yeah.
But I thought you went to more than just that.
Well, in those days when we were changing over to computers, because I was in charge of cataloging, I was technical services. And I am I'm the least technical of all people, but here I was the one that went to training to learn how to put put everything on the computer, how to use it. And a bunch of us from the various libraries went down to Salem because Salem was just going online. So we helped them with putting barcodes on all their books. So got some training from
Mike Smith.
Is he still around?
He just retired.
I always liked him. Anyway, he was in charge of training all of us at WCCLS on how to use the computers, how to go online.
And the fact that you had put some uniformity when you were cataloging the books, did that help with process later on?
Oh, yeah.
You knew more about cataloging than anybody except perhaps the librarian. You were involved in that. And so,
that's why I was chosen to be the one to be
in charge of that. I remember you talking later on. I mean, they kept the card catalog overlapping the new system for a long
time. Oh, it took us a while to convince John
that
we don't need that card catalog anymore. And then we still had the shelf list until right the time I left, I guess. I think that they just finally got rid of it.
Right behind you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It takes a while for people to change.
Well, it's hard. It's hard for librarians to let things go sometimes.
You know that?
Yes.
Security blanket.
I brought a relic.
Wow.
Oh my gosh!
This is the Sears list of some.
Oh, I wonder if this is the same copy I used.
Yes, it is. It's full of your annotations.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. And for years.
Oh, yeah, that's my writing.
Yep. For years, I told my staff. If there's a fire or we have to evacuate, grab that and run. Because before we were all integrated with the internet, when the system went down, there was nothing we could do
to help people
except refer to your cataloging notes.
That's funny.
You've left your mark. You have left your mark.
So you talked about some of them, but what are the main obstacles that you remember about getting the library started and getting things moving and progressing over the years?
When I convinced the board that the library director should be in charge, that was a rough transition period for volunteers who had been in charge. The volunteers were running the library, and I could understand the feeling.
because I was very possessive. It was our thing.
Yeah,
it could be turned over.
And
to some,
you know,
paid
people had put a lot of time in, and they wanted to be in charge. So, to have a professional in charge took some getting used to, and I think that was maybe part of the also the problem with Greg having him in charge.
And that was one of those cases, like, you know, they say the early bird gets the worm, but the second mouse gets the cheese. And that, you know, may have been part of the story with Greg. He was the first really paid librarian. Kathy
was paid, but not by the library.
Yeah, and she was not in charge.
She was not
really
in charge. And Mary was.
And so Greg was the first effort to have someone who was not one of the founders and volunteers in charge. And that's a tough
transition, because you know, all of those people put a lot of effort and time into organizing that library.
Yeah.
Or there was always the finances were always an issue, and having space, you know, it seemed like there was always a need for more space. And Mr. Bales, Otis Bales, was extremely helpful
during that period.
And then his stepson, Ken, continued to be. So they were, that family was very, very supportive of the library continually during all that period.
The whole community. I think Cedar Mill is a fairly well-educated community, and I think they really supported us from the beginning. And, you know, the fact that the library is still getting a lot of volunteers is still a huge program. At one point, I don't know if that's still the case, I think Cedar Mill had one of the largest volunteer programs west of the Mississippi.
Do you remember what the hours were like when you first started? How often were we open? And
my recollection was, I think it was like maybe 9 to 5 at first, although I think we went to 8 o'clock pretty early. It was amazing.
Wednesday night.
Yeah, I worked Wednesday nights after I was getting paid.
Was it open? It wasn't open every day of the week initially, was it?
I think it was. We were one of those libraries that prided ourselves in longer hours. I think in many cases we had longer hours than a lot of the other libraries who had been established for years. We really prided ourselves in having longer hours. And we went to Sunday. Well, I was still working there quite a few years before I quit.
So I'm assuming when we started, we got a lot of donations for materials. What other ways did we get materials, do you remember? Or was it mostly just donations from the community?
I think it was mostly donations from the community. You know, we had a newsletter right from the beginning. I think Jack and Georgie Thurber were the first ones. They were for quite a long time. And, you know, that's one way the word got out. But, you know, in the library, we also advertised the mess. And so the donations of books and then things for the mess just kept coming in all the time. There's no end to it, and I suppose that's still true, isn't it? For a second edition and for books?
It is true.
Yeah, but one year when I was still working with the mess, I wasn't in charge of it, but I heard the story. Somebody had donated a little china doll about this size, and you probably don't remember Doris Holbrook.
I do.
Oh, you do? Mm-hmm. Well, somebody, whoever had it, was going to put like 50 cents on this little doll. And Doris said, you know, I think we need to get that appraised. It looks like it has more value. And they did. It was like $900.
Really?
So they didn't sell it at the mess.
That's probably why.
So it was lucky. I just often wonder if the person who had donated it realized that.
Never know.
And I remember one year, one of the members of the board, his wife had died, and he gave all of her clothes to the library, and that was when I was in charge of women's clothing. All these beautiful clothes that were hardly worn.
The book donations, as I recall, were heavily tilted toward paperbacks and popular fiction and mystery stories, which you would expect, I guess. So I think the collection was fairly unbalanced.
Maybe at first.
For a long time,
yeah.
Until they actually started having enough budget to buy books and fill in the...
Well, early on, the Kidbys were in charge of those paperbacks.
Harold and Mildred Kidby. It's a shame.
Well, I'm sure you remember them, don't you?
Yeah, it's a shame you won't be able to interview them.
Yeah.
But
they,
for ages, they still came in and took care of them.
They were hard work. When we broke through the wall and went into Rogers' space,
After they drove Rogers out of business.
That was great to have all that extra space. And I helped with cleaning and painting. I remember I took home the little chairs they used in the easy section for story hour, which I'm sure are long gone now. I took them home and sanded them and repainted them. Like I say, we did everything.
Sounds like it.
I remember one time Marion and I vacuumed and shampooed the rug. And that back room, which is now her second edition, has its sorting room. That was our work room. And I remember scrubbing and waxing that on a Sunday, because that's the only time the library was closed. So anything like that had to be done on Sundays.
Sounds like you were involved in a lot of the cataloging and processing. Did you do any book ordering?
Oh, yes.
In the early days? Where did you get the books from initially? That weren't donated.
Was that Baker and Taylor? Was
Baker
that
and Taylor was one of them. You would remember that.
I don't know why I remember that. I
must have talked about it.
Out from somewhere.
But there was another place where we ordered quite a few books. Yeah, I was ordering children's books when I was in charge of the children's section. I ordered the children's books.
Was the other one Ingram, or were they?
Ingram, yes. Okay. You still order from them?
Still order from
okay.
Ingram. Well, we mentioned the mess a couple of times. I think we should probably, if you could describe what the mess was. Mm-hmm. And
it's a huge rummage sale. It was a 2 or 3 day, at least a 2 day. And it was held typically on the parking lot outside the library and spread onto, of course, it would rain. It was in September, and you could almost count, kind of like the Rose Parade in June, it's going to rain on the Cedar Mill Mess. But it was a miscellaneous, et cetera, super sale. Mm-hmm. And people came from all over the Portland area. It was a fun thing. And then we always had a party the last evening of the sale. The people who had been involved had to clean up the stuff that did not sell, that would go to the Salvation Army or whatever. And that's when the gag gifts started with, I remember one year there was a lamp that was really horrible. It's indescribable. And so that was made as a gift to, I don't know, one of the key people. And there was always boxed wine, and the boxed wine was pretty bad stuff. I mean, it was probably about $1.79 for 5 gallons or something like that. But it did, by the second or third class, it was getting better.
Yeah, you think of library people as straight-laced.
Oh, no, not,
not
this,
those
this,
parties.
This was a partying. It was definitely a partying group.
Yeah, so, good times. The whole family would get involved. Our kids, our daughter helped. I guess our youngest son didn't help much, but our two older sons helped in cleanup. A lot of, like the Thurber kids helped, the Van Veen kids helped, Peterson kids helped.
So how old were your kids when you said your one?
Our two older sons were in high school. Our daughter was in middle school.
She came out, in middle school.
And then Chris, our youngest, would have been in elementary school.
Third grade when we moved out there. But they all graduated from Sunset, all four.
Okay.
Ended up graduating from Sunset.
So it sounds like they were probably older and didn't participate in story times much? Or did you?
No,
never.
Too old for that.
Yeah.
Much too sophisticated for that.
But they helped out and volunteered, even if they didn't do story time.
Their mother, I think, volunteered them to be involved.
So you said that you were on the board, or were both of you on the board at different
points?
I was on the
board for less than a year. That was at the time that when I went on the board, Vi was a volunteer. And then there was an opening for a paid employee. I think it was half-time. But still, it was something she was interested in, so she applied for it. And it turned out there was an existing policy or something written into the bylaws that family members or relatives of board members could not be hired. And so that knocked her out of the job and knocked me right off the board, because she wanted to work there, and we were both a bit unhappy about that. So I resigned from the board because of that, to make way. And then later on, when another opening came up, less than a year later, I think.
Yeah, and Greg so she was did, the one that hired me.
She did finally start being, I guess, part-time paid.
To start with.
And then eventually, of course, full-time paid. So you were fourth?
I guess
fourth,
I was the fourth, yeah.
Paid employee.
Now how many are there?
Close to 80.
80?
Between the two libraries.
And with the two libraries.
Yeah. Quite a few of us.
Wow. It's amazing. It's really an amazing success story.
Well, with that, we're to the last question, and it's, you know, how do you feel about the library now, you know, that it's 40 years later, and what surprised you along the way?
Well, the growth. Just no one would ever, I think, have anticipated that it would grow to be as big as it is today, as successful as it is, with its own branch library, in fact. And it was just survival in the early days was almost a, well, it was very satisfying, just that it lasted from year to year and grew a bit and could get some outside money. And so it's pretty amazing to see.
I'm just surprised that Beaverton, who's wanted Cedar Mill for so long, that it hasn't been annexed and become a branch of Beaverton, but like West Town Center, and then it became Tennisbourne, became a branch of Hillsborough.
So knowing that there are communities out there like Aloha starting libraries still, do you have any advice for communities who want to start a library now?
Sure, go for it.
Yeah.
What do they need to do?
Well, definitely let the community know, and I think the community would support it just like we were supported in Cedar Mill. That's very important to get the support of the community. So otherwise, you can't do it without the support of the community. Mm-hmm. Went from that little space across from Bales up to this big building on the one side, and then we knocked out the wall and went to Rogers. Then the two-floor addition. It's amazing. But now what do you do? You can't really go up and out anymore, can you?
Well, branches, you know, they went way out.
Yeah, and get the branch. I think that's the only answer.
That may be.
And, you know, I never thought that was a very attractive spot, but it was an ideal spot because being part of that shopping center made all the difference as far as the community was concerned. They couldn't go shopping and go to the library at the same time.
I think that's why the Bethany Library does as well as it does.
Yeah, it's in a shopping center too, isn't it? Yeah. So I think that really, really helped us to be part of that shopping center.
Well, thank you very much for your time today.
Oh, you're welcome.
You're welcome.